You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 29th, 2022, President Biden, following a 53-minute phone call with the leaders of France, Germany, Italy, the United Kingdom, according to the White House report, they all agreed they're going to continue to do everything they can to help Ukraine. Additional security assistance for Ukrainians to defend themselves. No word of any of those countries offering any troops on the ground, and certainly not the U.S. And, of course, the so-called peace talks have been underway, but what they're doing and progressing is very hard to say. There was a report earlier today that Russian troops were going to be backing away from Kyiv. In other words, trying to show that in good faith we do want to talk. But now a U.S. official is saying, no, they are not really withdrawing. They're simply redeploying. And there's a report from the Times of London that Russian President Putin got a note from Zelensky seeking peace. And when it was hand-delivered to him, Putin looked at it, read it, and said, tell him I will thrash them. In other words, he's not through. And yet the movement within the effort by Russia has not gone as expected. Not even what the Russians expected, but what our own country suspected might happen. Remember, there was talk that in less than 72 hours, Russians would be controlling Kyiv and everything around it. How did we get that so wrong? The Russians probably asking themselves the same question. But the top U.S. general in Europe, speaking before members of Congress at a Senate Armed Services Committee, said that if we thought there was going to be a quick and final invasion by Russia within a matter of hours, there, quote, could be a gap in our U.S. intel gathering. That doesn't surprise me. What about you? In the meantime, the Director General of Taiwan's National Security Bureau told a Taiwanese legislature that Russia's poor performance during its invasion of Ukraine should give China second thoughts about attacking Taiwan. Are they all dealing with the same intel? We have the 2022 election midterm coming up, and during an interview with Time magazine, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California, was asked a question. How do you see the midterms going? What do you see as the potential consequences if the Democrats lose Congress? Pelosi's answer, I don't have any intention of the Democrats losing Congress in November. It's absolutely essential for our democracy that we win. What the? Pelosi says if Democrats don't win, our democracy is destroyed. Well, of course, they're all tying it to the January 6th event, which they continue to hold this farce of a hearing and trial that is already predetermined. But she said, I fear for our democracy if Republicans ever get the gavel. We cannot let that happen. Democracy is on the ballot in November. Well, now that I will agree with. But I say take the gavel from Pelosi, and the way to do it is take back control of the House and also increase your seats in the U.S. Senate. Now, with just 7 months or so to go, there are several surveys coming out, and an NBC national poll shows 46% of those questioned prefer a GOP-controlled Congress. That's NBC. A Harvard-Harris poll indicating that if Trump were to face against Joe Biden, Trump would win by 6 points in 2024. Hear this. The China state-run global newspaper admitting the strict lockdown measures imposed since the Chinese coronavirus outbreak began in Wuhan, quote, have failed. They failed, driving cities on a quest for an improved anti-epidemic approach. Well, of course, after our economy's crippled because we're told to lock everything down, now they say, well, those things didn't work. No kidding. Princess Cruise Lines confirming one of its cruise liners just docking San Francisco. Everybody had to be tested before they go on. They had an outbreak of coronavirus. Enjoy your cruise.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Joe Biden went off teleprompter again and led everybody to believe he was calling for regime change in Russia. The White House had to immediately walk this back. But today the press asked him himself, was he walking it back? And he said this.
I'm not walking anything back. The fact of the matter is I was expressing the more outrage I felt toward the way Putin is dealing and the actions of this man. Just brutality.
This is coming after the White House spent the whole last week just walking back two other off-the-cuff comments from the commander-in-chief.
That's Jesse Waters from Fox News talking about what we've been witnessing. Damage control is on full alert at the White House. Every time Joe Biden says something, somebody's got to rush in and clarify what he had to say. You want a perfect example? Because, again, Biden will not accept that he said it and that you are the one mishearing it. But listen to the question raised by Fox News' Peter Doocy. Let's begin with that one.
Are you worried that other leaders in the world are going to start to doubt that America is back if some of these big things that you say on the world stage keep getting walked back?
What's getting walked back?
It made it sound like, just in the last couple days, it sounded like you told U.S. troops they were going to Ukraine. It sounded like you said it was possible the U.S. would use a chemical weapon. And it sounded like you were calling for regime change in Russia. And we know...
None of the three occurred.
None of the three occurred?
None of the three. But there's evidence. Not just your Joe Biden narrative, your Joe Biden perspective. There's evidence on tape. Listen for yourself.
If chemical weapons were used in Ukraine, would that trigger a military response from NATO?
It would trigger a response in kind.
Look at how they're stepping up. Look at how they're stepping up. And you're going to see when you're there, and some of you have been there.
We will have a different future, a brighter future, rooted in democracy and principle, hope and light, of decency and dignity, of freedom and possibilities. For God's sake, this man cannot remain power.
That sounds like a call for a regime change, doesn't it? And when he was talking to our troops, saying, you're going to see yourself when you're there in Ukraine, that suggests we're putting our boots on the ground in Ukraine? And saying if they use chemical weapons, then we will respond in kind, and we're still not really sure what that means. Now, I'm not for us detailing everything we will or will not have on the table against an enemy. I'm not in favor of that at all. And it's one thing for you and me to make remarks and so forth, but being the president raises the bar. Trump was guilty of doing similar things. I will call that out right here, right now. Some things he said that he shouldn't have said. And then he either would not clarify or just damned you, I'm not going to change anything. But when you start talking about beyond calling Putin a thug, a butcher, which is something else Biden called it the other day, you get past the name calling. When you start talking about, my God, this man cannot stay in control, that just crossed the line as far as, yes, you are calling for a regime change. And I will tell you this, make sure you hear me clearly. If Trump were still in office and if this were happening, although I will add, I don't think we would be in this position, but let's just say it happened. If Trump made a similar remark, I would condemn it as hard as I'm condemning Joe Biden's remark, just saying, my God, this man can't stay in power. Again, it's one thing for common citizens to say, even members of Congress, but Commander-in-Chief? Let me share something with you from the Daily Signal, written by our friend and often guest, James Carafano from the Heritage Foundation. I want to read through this. Here's how it goes. President Joe Biden's Euro tour this past week played like many a horror movie, where things go from eerily off to full-blown crisis in a matter of seconds. His trip was meant to reassure Europeans that when it comes to beating back Russian President Putin, America is in it to win it. What happened was something else entirely. He said, trailing behind a likable Biden, seen even as a folksy Joe in some parts of Europe, is a dark shadow. Two perplexing problems pose a nagging worry for the future. One is Biden's continued penchant for face-planting gaffes that the White House must then explain away. And this trip included them, just as we went through them, talking about deploying troops into Ukraine, and how we'd respond if Russia used chemical weapons. And after all of that, he said, again, James Carafano in his article points out, the second issue is a deeper problem. The cognitive abilities of the president and his team's lack of competence. They have shown no skill, no ability to formulate, execute strategy to safeguard the long-term interest of the U.S. And here is a telling line, just in this one line. James Carafano in the Daily Signal states a fact that cannot be denied. More than a year after taking office, Biden boasts a national gender strategy, but still no national security strategy. And these offhand remarks going off script and saying things that he did. Senator Rand Paul is saying we've got to look at the president and his actions and his words are creating a liability.
Well, you know, a lot of times when you're around somebody who's in cognitive decline, you find yourself trying to help them with the sentence, trying to help them complete it and saying, oh, no, that's not what you really mean. Let me help you complete the sentence. But we shouldn't have to do that for the commander-in-chief. And it is actually a national security risk because he's sending signals that no one in their right mind would want to send to Russia at this point. We aren't trying to replace Putin in Russia. We aren't trying to have regime change. We're not sending troops into Ukraine. And we're not going to respond in kind with chemical weapons. So none of those things are true, but, you know, he lives in an alternate universe where he just says they're not true and he didn't say them, so I guess you're supposed to look the other way.
Now, it's one thing for Americans to see what he says and react to it, but let me give you two other perspectives. When Joe Biden insists that I did not call for a regime change in Russia by making the remark, my God, this man can't stay in power anymore, and then immediately the White House had to come forward and kind of clarify and suggest that it was just a statement. Don't read too much into it. He got accused and accosted by French President Emmanuel Macron, fearing that Biden's remarks could embolden Putin and escalate the Ukrainian war. Macron said, I wouldn't use those terms because I continue to speak to President Putin. We want to stop the war that Russia launched in Ukraine without waging war, without escalation. The German chancellor also said the same. NATO allies, France, Germany, and others are probably all saying, look, what Biden's mouthing is just going to make it harder to resolve the conflict. And then you look to the Chinese. Their state propaganda outlet, Global Times, no surprise, condemning Biden for his remarks in Poland that Putin, quote, cannot remain in power. And the Chinese accused Biden of seeking to, quote, make Russia collapse again. This is reference to the first with the breakup of the Soviet Union. The White House, every time Biden has made remarks like that, the White House damage control team has to be summoned. Red alert, red alert, red alert. Everybody on deck. What do we do with this one? But it's not just conservatives, independents, and some Democrats, if not many of them, recognizing it. It's not just NATO countries speaking out. It's not just China. Senator Rand Paul says, even the progressives see what's happening and it bothers them.
He lives in an alternate universe where he just says they're not true and he didn't say them, so I guess you're supposed to look the other way. But even the left-wing media is noticing these gaffes. So I do think that it is a real problem, and there's a humorous angle to this, but it's really not funny. I mean, because we're worried about what he's saying precipitating or escalating the conflict in Ukraine into a world war. That's very serious.
Very serious. In the last hour, when we were talking about the latest in Ukraine-Russia, ran a clip of Senator Rubio talking about that Putin might be doing some things and then later blame them on Ukrainians, such as use of chemical weapons. And if James Carafano and his evaluation, which I tend to support, that the president and his team are incompetent, and Senator Rubio is correct that if the Russians would activate chemicals but then say, it's not us, we wash our hands of it, we didn't do it, it's Ukrainians. Would the White House take the proper analysis before making a move and decide what happened and where and who is to blame? Or would it be a knee-jerk reaction? Would it be just Joe Biden going out and mouthing words again? If our intel, again, as I pointed out in the last hour, I cannot stress to you enough, these hours often weave together so tightly. You need to hear both. If you miss one, you can always catch it on the podcast. Everything we air goes up on the podcast at LarryConnersUSA.com, LarryConnersUSA.com, or LarryConnersUSA Facebook shortly after we go off the air. But again, reference the last hour that with all the efforts that are underway to try to stabilize things, and our own intel now has to acknowledge that maybe we just didn't really understand how tough the Ukrainians would be. And our intel said Russia would roll right over Ukraine. So we have that kind of intel, or lack of it. That's part of the competency Carafano is referring to. And then we have Joe Biden going around making these remarks, sometimes off the cuff, sometimes actually sticking to his notes. I'll deal with that before we wrap up the hour. But Congressman Pat Fallon, Republican of Texas, said, when it comes down to it, here's what Biden should do.
I wish he would just zip his mouth and take some actions. I don't care what his words are at this point. If he wants to really help the Ukrainians out, how about shipping them more asymmetrical aid like we begged him to and beseeched him to back in November? And I would just send him artillery pieces and zip POTUS's mouth, quite frankly. I think we'd all be better off.
Zip it up. I'm sure that the White House staff has similar thoughts. But, of course, if you're worried about the cognitive ability and competency of Joe Biden, right behind him is VP Harris. That's not comforting. And behind her is Pelosi. Again, not comforting. Coming up, the fight to protect women's rights. Where are the women who demanded equal rights? You want to hear from Senator Tuberville when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnersUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
To appease the demands of the left, sports organizations from grade school to professional leagues are focusing on the concept of being inclusive at the expense of being fair. But by including biological males in women's athletics, fairness is not possible. I can't believe we're even talking about this. Just last week, I heard from female Olympic gold medalists who reiterated this. And the study after study continues to confirm what we already know. Male and female bodies have inherent biological differences that no amount of testosterone suppression can level.
That is Senator Tommy Tuberville. And he served as the Auburn football, university football coach from 1999 to 2008. The Republican senator from Alabama stated it clearly that men are men and women are women, period. And he said the NCAA had the perfect opportunity to stand up for women and girls, and they blew it. He also called out, where are the women's rights people? Where are the feminist groups that fought tooth and nail for Title IX? Title IX is part of the Education Amendments of 1972, and it forbids sex-based discrimination in federally funded education programs, including athletics. And he says, again, we're talking about the Auburn University head coach for several years, now a senator from Alabama, said Title IX, quote, was one of the best things the federal government has ever done, especially for women, and building leadership for women from young girls on up. Three more states are now considering banning males from girls' sports. Arizona, Kentucky, Oklahoma. Senator Tuberville is co-sponsored the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, which would limit women's sports at federally funded athletic programs to biological females. He said, if you're going to play in sports, you go by your biological gender, not what you think you are, but how you were born. We have a men's league, we have a woman's league. You want to have a transgender league? I'm fine with that. I think everybody should have the opportunity to compete. But it's got to be a level playing field. And it says when it comes to trying to simply talk your way into a level playing field by allowing transgenders to compete, you look at failure.
There's no pregame speech you can give a woman or a girl who feels like they aren't competing on the same playing field. No pep talk can touch Title IX's 37 words that changed everything for women's sports over 50 years ago. It rightfully afforded women's girls the same athletic opportunities that their male counterparts had always had, and we should continue to fight for all the young girls in the future of this country.
But what we have right now is a progressive push across the nation, a president in office that buys into this progressive push, and others who might not buy into it but are silent, and many simply afraid to speak out against it and challenge it, even if they're among the competitors. You see that Leah Thomas, in winning some of the awards she's gotten, the other swimmers, they all come over to congratulate her because she won. And they acknowledge that whatever Leah wants to proclaim herself, she had to put in long hours at the pool just as they did. But as Senator Tuberville said, there's not a pregame speech you can give to make a woman or girl feel they're competing on a fair playing field. Not the way it's going at this point. And of course, if you say that on Twitter or Facebook, they might ban you. Oh, wait a minute. In fact, they did. And they probably will continue. My next guest is one of the latest victims. I'll see how far we get on the air with this interview before YouTube decides to shut this one off. But we are listening on the radio right now or our podcast later. We're safe, I think. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So my next guest, I try to promote my guests in advance on Larry Connors USA Facebook and my Twitter account, at Larry Connors USA. But I don't think my guest was able to see the Twitter account. There's a reason why. John Daniel Davidson, senior contributor for The Federalist, joining us. Glad to have you on board, John.
Doing well.
So you did something that Twitter just suddenly went ballistic over. What happened?
I simply tweeted out that Rachel Levin, who's the assistant secretary of health for the Biden administration, is a man. And Rachel Levin is a man. He goes by Rachel. He was born Richard Levin and lived 54 years of his life presenting as a man. He was married. He had two kids. And about 10 years ago, he decided that he was going to start living as a woman and grew his hair out long and started dressing like a woman. And he's now a trans woman as far as the U.S. government is concerned and as far as Twitter is concerned. And according to Twitter's rules, it's hateful conduct to point out that Richard Levin is in fact a man.
And in fact, you were picking up on the story because Charlie Kirk had also been locked out because he made the same reference. And so you were basically reporting on a story of what had happened, but also clarifying, yeah, Levin is a man dressing like a woman.
That's right. You know, and it wasn't just me who pointed this out. Other people pointed this out, and they got banned for it as well. The Babylon Bee jokingly posted that Rachel Levin was their the Babylon Bee's 2022 Man of the Year after USA Today included Rachel Levin as one of their Women of the Year. So, you know, this is something they're not just going after me. They're going after anybody who wants to tell the truth about this situation. And let me be clear. It's not about Rachel Levin per se.
No.
This is anyone. This is anyone who says that they're a man or a woman, but is in fact a woman or a man. If you just point out that reality, they'll kick you off Twitter.
Yeah, we were live streaming our programs for a period of time on YouTube. We just had initiated it, and we were live streaming, and suddenly we got shut down because we had also gotten a notice, as you did, from Facebook, in our case, instead of Twitter, that we have violated their content and that we were basically preaching hate. All I was doing was quoting somebody. And as you said, some said, well, it's like a badge of courage. Said, no, not really. It's like candy being thrown off a parade float. Everybody's getting them if you disagree with them, period.
Yeah, and they're also twisting words. And Twitter called it hateful conduct. To call Rachel Levin a man is hateful conduct. Well, is it really hateful conduct to affirm someone in a dangerous delusion? Would we say it's hateful conduct to point out to someone who's suffering from anorexia that they need to get help and that they're suffering under a dangerous delusion and their life could be at stake? No, that's not hateful. That's compassionate. It's hateful to pretend as though Rachel Levin is a man. To pretend as though he's a woman when in fact he is a man, and he's a man who needs help. Affirming these people in these delusions does not help them, and it's not compassionate. In fact, it's cruel, and arguably it's hateful.
Well, the YouTube also jumped into a conservative political action conference, which included your Federalist CEO, Sean Davis, also reporter Rachel Bavard, who contributes to the Federalist, all because you were simply they were discussing the harms of big tech and how federal law prevents them from liability. They were just simply discussing controlling big tech or what is needed, not needed. Where do we go that we become censors ourselves? And they got banned.
That's right. YouTube took down that discussion, which was a discussion about how to regulate big tech. Obviously, these big tech firms and these social media giants, they don't want to be regulated as what they are. And what they are essentially common carriers or public utilities. That's what they've become in the digital age. People who say, oh, Twitter's a private company, they can make whatever rules they want, are not really being honest about what Twitter and Facebook and these companies are in a digital era. They are like a phone company. And like a phone company, they shouldn't be able to banish people based on what they say over the phone line. It should be a common carrier situation where anyone can use their platform. And Congress needs to act on this. That's the solution here.
Well, even aside from Congress, various states are beginning to make their own moves on it.
That's right, and it's good. And they should continue to do so because that will in turn put pressure on Congress to make rules at the federal level, which is what we desperately need, because eventually they are going to kick off every single person who dares to say that a trans woman is actually biologically, permanently a man. They'll come for everyone.
And the other problem that exists, as you say, they want to claim exemptions so they're not being held for slander and libel that might appear. And I've tried to explain to the audience in the past that with the newspaper, you know what you put in there. You control what you put in. And if it's an opinion by someone, you can clean it up before it goes on. In broadcast, you supposedly will have a dump button if someone starts going over the board with some of the language and so forth. But I understand that Twitter and Facebook can't really watch each and everything that's put up on a continuous basis. But the problem is when they accuse you of hate, they don't really come up with any clear, definitive reasoning. It's just somebody back in a back room. Facebook has even admitted they're not experts. They just somebody we hired back there to make decisions.
Yeah, they're making up the rules as they go along, and they're hiding behind the fig leaf of federal protections for liability for what third-party users post on their platforms.
And you can't have it both ways.
They're not really publishers. They're not really publications. They're not exercising editorial judgment. They're just platforms, and so they can't be held liable on the one hand for anything that anyone posts. But on the other hand, they're going to censor you if you say something that they don't like, based upon their totally fungible rules and regulations and their community standards, so-called. So they can't have it both ways now. They're going to have to decide, and we're going to have to decide for them, because obviously they'll try to have it both ways. But this has got to end, because in the end, they're going to shut down their platforms for everybody that they disagree with.
Well, before you joined us, I was playing some clips of Senator Tommy Tuberville of course, representing Alabama and talking about Title IX, how it's just been destroyed by this fact that you cannot identify women's sports and men's sports as being separate, and saying there's no pregame speech where you're going to give a woman or a girl an even field. And that's the kind of stuff, if I copied that and put it on my Facebook or Twitter, I'm sure they'd say it's hate speech.
That's right. Are we not allowed to have a debate about that?
No.
We have men that are competing – men who are competing and winning college championships, Division I NCAA championships, who are competing against women, and we're not supposed to be able to talk about that or debate that on these platforms? Well, if that's the case, then take away their liability protections and let people sue Twitter and Facebook for stuff that third parties post on there, just like you would sue the New York Times. You have to play hardball with these guys. Because otherwise they are going to shut down public discourse, and they're already doing it. And it's not just this issue. It's going to be on a whole host of issues. Do you disagree with abortion? Do you disagree with the new Democrat spending bill? Do you disagree with trans ideology? Or you think that teachers shouldn't be teaching critical race theory in schools? They are going to come after you and shut you down. It's going to be a whole range of opinions that you're not allowed to express on these platforms.
Yeah, and if you're progressive, you're allowed to say something they might say, oh, you shouldn't have said, and you get a, okay, my bad, we won't do it again. Listen, I appreciate your time, John, and I know the audience appreciate it, and especially doing double duty, multitasking, taking care of your child while doing this interview. Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
You bet. John Daniel Davidson. He's right. It doesn't matter what the issue is. It's censorship. Censorship is censorship, period. Now, we were talking about what some states are trying to do. Not going to wait for the feds to move in on it, Congress. That's happening right now as I speak in Georgia. We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. And also, President Biden, even though he makes all these gaffes, how he still has to hold on to his notes and apparently ignore them. Stand by, please. Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTNER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we're talking about how some states are considering, what do we do about big tech? What can we do that maybe Congress has not done or may never do? We brought up Georgia. Douglas Blair is a contributor to the Daily Signal. And he did a piece dealing with the Georgia Senate, how it has passed SB 393 to prohibit social media platforms such as Facebook and Twitter from deleting posts, banning users who live or work in Georgia based solely on their views. He said the Georgia House expected to vote on this bill, and Governor Kemp, a Republican, will be signing it if it clears final passage. And adding that if social media users believe they've been unfairly censored or discriminated against based on their views, Georgia's proposed Common Carrier Non-Discrimination Act would allow users to sue the platforms. That's the very point John Daniel Davidson was making. If they're going to decide that they are going to dictate what they put on or not put on, or that they will pull down and censor you, well, then you should have a right to fire back at them. Judging by the response he got when his Twitter account got shut down and others, and I hear from a lot of you on that same point. And it happened when YouTube hit us on our live streaming. They're not clear on what violation you did. And they're not really going to give you a hearing. That's all just fabrication. Now, in Georgia, proponents of this bill also argue big tech companies have gone far beyond simply banning illegal content such as child porn. They've decided they will decide what's truth, and they will censor topics and views they don't like and brand such content as misinformation. I don't know how many times I've seen that, and you as well, probably. If I just simply state on an advance for the program, we're going to be talking about, maybe I'm just going to say we're going to talk about how to spell COVID. There will be a banner immediately put up on my page saying, for full and correct information, go here. Well, what is full and correct information about COVID now? I told you earlier that even the China state-run global newspaper is admitting that strict lockdown measures imposed since the Chinese coronavirus outbreak began have failed. Now, if I had written that, and I didn't, even if I didn't quote China state-run and said, I believe everything's going to indicate it's that was the wrong thing, and we have pointed that out before, they may become looking for you. You just have to accept the fact that they're going to do what they can to control you in every way possible. So, yes, we need legislation. We need legislation, and we need to hit them hard. Governor DeSantis in Florida is already proposing, or rather signed some legislation last June, as you know. It's more specific than the Georgia bill. It does provide means to fine the tech companies only when they deplatform candidates during election season. But all of this is just going after these big tech companies who tried to hide behind their algorithms to justify censorship. Yet there are people who designed the algorithms and set them in place. So Joe Biden, with all the gaffes he's been making, we know he relies on a teleprompter a lot. Some photos taken very close Monday when he was taking a series of questions about the White House and his remarks about Vladimir Putin, saying, my God, that man can't stay in power. A photographer captured the note card, and it's titled at the top, Tough Putin Q&A. Notes. Detailed questions that Biden would receive from reporters and detailed bullet points of how he should answer them. One answer read, I was expressing the moral outrage I felt toward the actions of this man. Another prepared answer read, I was not articulating a change in policy. And at the beginning of the question and answer, he responded using his prepared answers to begin with, saying the fact of the matter is I was expressing moral outrage, blah, 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 blah. In other words, when he goes off script, like berating Fox News reporter Peter Ducey for being silly, losing his temper with a woman reporter asked if his comment escalated the conflict with Putin, that's when it hits the fan. And White House staff, those guys don't sleep nowadays. I'm pretty sure of that. I would look for more to bail out so that we get through 2022. As always, I appreciate you listening and joining us. I truly do. And I look forward to having you back here tomorrow. You and your friends, let them know we're on the air. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.